Welcome to The Connection, where humans and aliens converse, and where all the dots are connected. I'm Nancy of Zeta Talk, an emissary for aliens from Zeta Reticuli. They are here to warn of great cataclysms on Earth and advise how to survive this. The pending pole shift is not the end. Man will make his next leap forward to live a better time when aliens will live among us. I'm forever asked on email why what the Zeta state differs in some regard with what other prophets state. First off, not everyone making pronouncements is a prophet, despite their claims. Most suspect are new voices, suddenly on the scene and having no track record. True prophets often have such gripping words that even without any of their prophecies culminating, they are widely known. And as always, one solid measure that can be used against any given prophecy is the accuracy of predictions. Bear in mind that disinformation agents may be foisted on the public and be so solidly backed by funding that these new prophets may seem to have a large fan base, where this is an arranged circumstance solely. Thus, it's not an easy matter to determine truth in a prophet. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Who to Believe, written August 1996. We've explained that many channels are false, claiming to be channels either for personal glory and attention, or to deliberately disinform, and that true channels often speak poetically in metaphors and analogies, or become so fascinated with a concept that they give it undue emphasis. We've explained that many prophecies become misinterpreted messages due to the ear of the listener wishing to hear what they want to believe. Thus, the brief rescue that those firmly in the service to other orientation have been offered during the worst moments of the pole shift, has been interpreted as the ascension by Christians. We've explained that the exact year of the pole shift is erroneously reported by many true channels, either because the human channel wants to deny what's in their future, or because the aliens themselves are reluctant to give humans such terrifying news when there is little that most can do about it. Thus, humans receive many conflicting messages. Who to believe? This situation of mixed or conflicting messages is certainly not new to humans, who deal with such elements in every aspect of their lives. Lovers say the three little words, I love you, but may be speaking of sexual desire or the need for affiliation or protection. Political promises are rift with conflicting statements, to say nothing of false intent. Both employer and employee misstate their qualifications and ability to deliver, the employer promising an exciting and educational environment, and the prospective employee claiming competence to do the job. Product advertisement is so overstated that whole sections of the government are tasked with being watchdogs of such behavior. Criminal and civil prosecution find both sides giving conflicting claims of guilt or innocence, and following up these claims with elaborate explanations and evidence. So why is it that humans expect to find absolute precision and truthfulness regarding the millennium prophecies and channeled claims? As with all of life, you must think for yourself and make your own determinations. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. The confused public is constantly asked for the Zetas to validate this or that statement made by another. Since the start of 2002, when the expected uptick in false prophets was starting to flood the Internet, the Zetas laid down the rule that unless this other prophet had a prediction accuracy track record, they would have no comment. After all, if a newcomer has no prediction accuracy, then why should anyone listen to their words? And I quote from Zeta Talk, Zeta Talk Predictions, written January 2002. comparisons to Zeta Talk are constantly being made. As we pointed out, at least half of all claimed messages from higher or other sources are false. The perpetrators know this, are consciously aware they are writing a fiction, and enjoying the attention they are getting or the money they're getting if they're a disinformation artist for hire. Beyond the deliberate falsehoods perpetrated, there are the valid or semi-valid messages. Of these, the contactee is often mixing in their own fear or prejudices, coloring the message. Of these, the aliens communicating with the contactee or channel may have their own reluctance to announce the truth, as the coming Earth changes will be horrific for most of mankind. Then there are those valid messages relayed which are confused as to context, as with Casey, who described Earth changes the week of rotation stoppage, or during the hour of the shift, not after the shift itself. Why would he do this? Casey and those communicating with him felt that mankind would be most aware and relating Casey's message to their situation during these times. So those comparing Zeta Talk to Casey find differences, not understanding this. Our general advice to mankind is to evaluate other communications in accordance with their proven validity. Nancy has been stating much lately that Zeta Talk has a track record. Scallion, too, and Casey. If a site is not assumed to be just so much hot air and worthless, then it must have predicted regularly and be found valid. If not, then please don't bother asking us for a comparison to garbage. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. What are some of the prophets the Zetas have identified as valid? For instance, Edgar Casey. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Edgar Casey, written May 1996. Prophets bearing impelling messages are invariably inspired. Their message grips those hearing it because it carries a view humans under their own power could not come by. Unlike false prophets, whose pronouncements fall flat almost as soon as they are made, the words uttered by true prophets have the ring of truth, a thousand facets of reality lining up to support the prophecy as it unfolds. Prophets are remembered or gain notoriety where their track record was astonishing in its accuracy or immense in its impact. Edgar Casey, due to his accuracy on small personal matters and the resultant widespread notoriety, is living in memory still for his predictions on geological changes. His visions were most certainly inspired by a group of extraterrestrial entities, unknown and unnamed by humans, who operate disincarnate at a high level within the service to other orientation. Casey was thus instrumental in alerting many about the coming changes, the tentacles of his prophetic reach spreading into many cultures and lands. He was selected from among the many who gave the call, asking for such prophetic assist, not only because of his nature, which was greatly devoted to the general welfare, but also because of his natural gifts. Immensely telepathic for a human, and allowing himself to be in tune with all aspects of the humans he healed, and in touch with all disincarnate entities willing to assist with the healing, he wasted not himself or his helpers in any of his endeavors. His gift of healing and his highly accurate intuition spread his fame, which in turn bolstered the widespread belief in his prophecies. For those lucky enough to be entranced by his words, his message has not been lost. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. But there are differences between Casey's description of the upheavals to come and the Zeta description. Why would that be? And I quote from Zeta Talk, Differing Prophecies, written October 1996. Some valid prophecies have stated that this land or that will appear as islands only, being inundated, and many have interpreted this to mean that the land will either sink under the sea or the oceans rise inordinately. The Edgar Casey vision of California appearing as islands, having been inundated, is not in conflict with the Zeta Talk statement that the West Coast will rise up due to forceful subduction of plates to the west of the land. One has only to look to the geography of California to see that the fertile inland valley was recently an inland sea, due to the surrounding mountains holding the water as a bowl, so that the Zeta Talk prediction of massive and forceful tidal waves, rising hundreds of feet to clear the mountains when they have nowhere else to go, will re-flood the inland sea once again, and that drainage will take some time. Among the valid prophets, Edgar Cayce has stated a vision that land will appear in the Caribbean, where Zeta Talk has pointed to an area off Antarctica. Is Cayce incorrect? Yes and no. Insofar as he was seeing the immediate effect of the pole shift on the land, with the Atlantic widening so that there is temporarily less water to rise up on the shores, the vision is correct. Cayce was also reporting the immediate effect of the pole shift on California. We, in Zeta Talk, are giving all pieces of the puzzle step by step and stand here to respond to questions on these matters to defend our prior responses. Are the others doing the same? End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Cayce's predictions on what would be the start of the severe Earth changes as a breaking up in the South Seas, followed by heaving and falling of land in the Mediterranean, was breathtakingly accurate, occurring during and shortly after the time of the December 26, 2004 tsunami quake that tore a 700-mile stretch along the fault line near Sumatra. Cayce's words. Question: how soon will the changes in the Earth's activity begin to be apparent? Answer: when there is a breaking up of some conditions in the South Sea, and those as apparent in the sinking or rising of that that's almost opposite same, or in the Mediterranean, and in the Etna area, then we may know it has begun. This given April 9, 1932, reading 311-8. End of the quote from Cayce. Note that the tsunami quake occurred within days of two quakes on December 23rd, an 8.1 Tasmania quake and an 8.2 Auckland quake in rapid succession at the juncture of the Antarctic and Indo-Australia plates. This was just above the South Pole and truly in the South Seas. The original breaks in the South Seas are in an area directly opposite the Mediterranean. Cayce states that sinking or rising in the Mediterranean would occur next. By January 13, 2005, reports were coming in that the Mediterranean level was astonishingly and unseasonably low in Venice during the flood season, off the coast of Barcelona to the west, and to the east in Croatia. Beaches so low the populace cannot remember such a time. Compare this to predictions by Zeta Talk for this area. The Zetas have described the Indo-Australia plate as diving under the Himalayas, drowning India eventually when the pole shift occurs. And I quote from Zeta Talk, pre-existing, written February 2002. The Himalayas, driven high from the seabed material in the past, also show a point of drama already scripted for India and Australia by past dramas which position these plates thus. End of the quote. 9 months before the tsunami quake, the Zetas described an Earth torque where the plates of the globe would be put under stress as the North Pole would be pushed along with rotation of the Earth, but the South Pole would be held back. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Torque Effect, written May 2004. Hold the globe with the left hand on the North Pole, the right hand on the South Pole, and turn in opposite directions, the North Pole going in the direction of rotation, with the South Pole held back. The South Pole pulled back by a grab on the Atlantic Rift in the southern hemisphere has the Indo-Australia plate plunging under the Himalayas. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. This torque effect became obvious after the tsunami quake, with the west coast of the U.S. being free of the quakes, riddling the rest of the Ring of Fire. As North America was being turned east while the rest of the Ring of Fire was being pulled back, as the Zetas have described. This showed up on IRIS quake charts beautifully, and is still the case, the North American continent being free of the quakes elsewhere along the Ring of Fire, where previously this had not been the case. Thus, both Casey and the Zetas predicted stress in this part of the globe during the time leading into the coming pole shift. Another point of similarity between Casey and Zeta Talk is that they both blew their dates, both stating the pole shift would occur earlier than has proven to be the case. In the case of Zeta Talk, it was a deliberate white lie to get the Bush administration to invade Iraq early. In March and April of 2003, just ahead of the Zeta prediction of a shift shortly after May 15, 2003, and thus have his efforts to grab the oil fields of the Middle East and be king of the world fail. Casey appears to be predicting a shifting of the poles in 2000 and 2001, and I quote, "As to the changes physical again, the earth will be broken up in the western portion of America. The greater portion of Japan must go into the sea. The upper portion of Europe will be changed as in the twinkling of an eye. Land will appear off the east coast of America. There will be upheavals in the Arctic and in the Antarctic that will make for the eruption of volcanoes in the torrid areas, and there will be shifting then of the poles, so that where there has been those of a frigid or a semi-tropical will become the more tropical, and the moss and fern will grow." This from Casey on January 19, 1934, reading 3976-15. And again, portions of the now east coast of New York, or New York City itself, will in the main disappear, while the southern portions of Carolina, Georgia, these will disappear. This will be much sooner. The waters of the lakes will empty into the Gulf. Among the safety land will be portions of what is now Ohio, Indiana, and Illinois, and much of the southern portion of Canada and the eastern portion of Canada. This on August 13, 1941, reading 1152-11. And again, "And these will begin in those periods in 1958 to 1998, when these will be proclaimed as the periods when his light will be seen again in the clouds. As to times, as to seasons, as to place, alone it is given to those who have named the name, and who bear the mark of those of his calling and his election in their bodies. To them it shall be given." This January 19, 1934, reading 3976-15. And again, question, what great change, or the beginning of what change, if any, is to take place in the earth in the year 2000 to 2001 A.D.? Answer, when there is a shifting of the poles, or a new cycle begins. This August 11, 1936, reading 826-8. End of the quotes from Casey. Michael Gordon Scallion is another prophet considered valid by the Zetas. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Scallion's Predictions, written April 1997. Michael Gordon Scallion is a gifted visionary, on par with Edgar Casey in his time. That his visions are not identified as exceptional is due to the maxim that visionaries are not valued in their present day to the extent they are when time has passed. Casey, Nostradamus, and other great prophets likewise were treated with as much disdain as admiration during their day, and only gained their present stature over time. Mankind tends to treat their prophets like gods, raising them to this stature when the abilities are first recognized, and then angrily rejecting them if they are not consistently accurate. Like children forever seeking a parent who will not leave them or fail them, they demand perfection, when they themselves are far from perfect. Scallion, like Casey, is being guided in his visions as a result of having given the call and being considered a worthy vehicle to relay messages to mankind. Just as some channeled work reflects genuine input from extraterrestrials, some prophets are likewise getting this input. As with all human interpretations of the input they receive, Scallion colors what he hears with his own judgment and spin. All humans have mindsets and preconceptions that color what they hear and choose to pass on to others. There is a game played in human society where all stand in a circle and whisper a statement around the circle, one to another, until the statement returns to the originator, who can scarcely recognize it for what it was when it left his lips. All humans have a limited ability to comprehend the totality of what they learn. A child hearing an explanation for how an airplane can fly, the air lift under the wings, could scarcely pass this information on to others, or would do so by inserting misconceptions. The concept grasped is the one relayed, not the concept given. All humans reach a saturation point when given a great deal of information all at once. Complex concepts often require many factors to be considered at once, and thus a human hearing all the factors may grasp the end results, but not remember all of the factors. Thus, when relaying this complex concept to others, they omit crucial factors so that the second party does not form the same end result in their mind. All humans, when listening to a prophet, pick and choose what they elect to hear. If the message is distressing, they select only those parts of the message that comfort, just as the witnesses to an accident often recount vastly different interpretations of what occurred. Just so, the audience of a prophet retains surprisingly different summations of what was read. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. An example of Scallion's enduring fan club is a question and answer dated August 3, 2006. Dear Gordon Michael Scallion, I had a very vivid dream last night concerning a large earthquake in Memphis. The duration was considerable, and I remember watching sections of the earth move horizontally along a fault. Do you foresee any activity along the New Madrid fault in the near future? Again, thanks for your updates and warnings. We are paying attention. Signed, Sue. Response. Dear Sue, I am including your letter in this week's update, as I have been receiving many letters of a similar nature. While I do not see a major quake in Memphis at this time, dreams often are without time, meaning the dream may be prophetic, but as to when it will occur requires a deeper look into the dream for date clues. What I have observed in my 25 years in metaphysics is that a good indication of coming events is the frequency of mail I receive from readers relaying dreams of earth changes. While most dreams use earthquakes and floods, etc., as a metaphor for what the dreamer is currently experiencing, some are prophetic. I do believe we are in the building stages of more catastrophic changes, with each year breaking records. 2006 will be no different. End of the quotes. The Zetas have described the tearing of the New Madrid as coming soon and with great specificity. And I quote from Zeta Talk, North American Rip, dated February 2006. The stress on the North American plate will resolve by ripping the St. Lawrence Seaway open, pulling the southeast down into the crumbling Caribbean and into the widening Atlantic, as neither of these sinking fronts will be able to support the edge of the weighty North American plate. There is pressure along the west coast, of course, and as the North American plate confronts the compressing Pacific, this will only result in the predictable volcanic increases and west coast earthquakes. But the primary drama preceding the pole shift will be a ripping action that a plate unable to move must endure. The notable area of catastrophe during this is the eastern half of the continental U.S. From Houston to Chicago to New England, the diagonal pole will tear the underpinnings of cities and create a catastrophe for the U.S. that will make the New Orleans disaster appear trivial. A widening seaway also does not affect just those land masses bordering the seaway, as buckling occurs inland and afar. What does man assume caused the Black Hills to be so rumpled, with the appearance of a recent buckling and heaving? This is the center of a land plate. The tearing of the seaway does not end at Duluth, Minnesota. It travels underground to South Dakota. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Scallion's map of the U.S. after the coming cataclysms differs on many points with the Zeta description, but on one point they agree. Chicago will rip open to allow the waters of Lake Michigan to flow toward the Mississippi. And I quote from Zeta Talk, lying deep under the city of Chicago are aqueducts put in place by man, as well as many channels above ground, which connect in one manner or another Lake Michigan and the rivers to the south. Man has built these, and man will suffer when the water goes on the move. Man-made barricades will crumble, and the worst nightmares will ensue. End of the quote from Zeta Talk on Chicago. Some astonishing correlations with the predictions made by the Zetas can be found among valid prophets little known to the general public. An example is Lou Formosa, who was given a vision during a near-death experience in 1963. And I quote, "The next vision was of floods, many of them spilling across the earth on different continents in different seasons. I am again walking among it, feeling the force and taking in the smell of death. Hundreds of lives and acres upon acres of crops were lost, as well as hundreds of stock and wild animals floating away into the abyss. Then I watched volcanoes from around the world erupting, first one, then another. The molten lava burying whole towns and villages, and the people and animals within them. I gazed among the ruins and saw little left of what once stood there. The last vision I saw in this green was of earthquakes destroying sections of almost every continent. One was a massive one in America, most others were in Europe and the Orient. Again, thousands were killed. Structures are crumbled, the landscape leveled. A large mass passes me, larger than any of the planets known to me, and as it passes, I see the earth wobble wildly as would a top toward the end of its spin. The rotation stopped and slowly started again, but it was tilted now, and I was drawn in closer like the zoom of a lens. Gabriel now tells me that this was his message that I must take back, to let others know that there is little to fear, for the earth will go on forever, as did all the planets I had visited. I am to tell the world to look to Orion, and they will know when a new world will come upon them." End of the quote from Lou Formosa's vision. For the Zetas, Lou is a valid prophet reporting a vision. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Lou Formosa, written September 2006. Nancy is certainly not the only person to receive a vision of the coming times, as there are numerous individuals in every culture around the world receiving such visions. The intent? To have the person communicate their vision in a firm and determined manner. Nancy and this gentleman are two such examples, both a success. Most such visions and intentions of the soul to have a role during the coming times do not succeed in this manner. It takes courage and a firm commitment to the truth. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. The Bible, or biblical characters such as presented themselves to Lou Formosa, are likewise warning of the coming pole shift, though the message is often misunderstood. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Misinterpreted Messages, written November 1995. Many efforts have been made in the past to prepare the people of Earth for the coming cataclysms and the spiritual transformation that will follow. These efforts are reflected in the general perception that the approaching millennium will bring great change, perhaps the end of the world, perhaps a rapture into the state of bliss, a heaven on earth, perhaps the appearance of an Antichrist, a nuclear holocaust, or all of these possibilities at once. As with most serious messages given to those who can only partially understand, the messages were misinterpreted, partly understood, partly misunderstood, partly skipped altogether, and partly generated by the listener to fill in the blanks. Most serious efforts to impart information about the coming pole shift and spiritual transformation to follow have included the following. Death and destruction of massive proportions with whole cities destroyed utterly, i.e., the end of the world. An increasing polarization of the orientations with an aggressive last-minute effort by the service to self to influence potential converts, i.e., the Antichrist. Rescuing the service to other-oriented from the cataclysms, briefly, and then returning them to a world scheduled to become a home for the service to others, i.e., the rapture. the transformation of human society to service to other communities, as only the service to others are allowed to incarnate on earth, i.e., heaven on earth. Where the above parallels the Christian understanding of the coming millennium, other cultures and religions will likewise have parallel myths and prophecies. If one reads them with insight, they almost make sense. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. An example of a valid prophecy being delivered under the cloak of religion is the third secret of Fatima, not at all revealed officially by Pope John to be a prediction supposedly dealing with the assassination of a pope. Pope John revealed the true nature of the third secret in 1980 in Germany, and I quote from Newsmax. Asked in 1980 why the secret had yet to be released, Pope John Paul II told a German audience, because of the seriousness of its contents, in order not to encourage the worldwide power of communism to carry out certain coups, my predecessors in the chair of Peter have diplomatically preferred to withhold its publication. On the other hand, it should be sufficient for all Christians to know this much. If there is a message in which it is said that the oceans will flood entire sections of the earth, that, from one moment to the other, millions of people will perish, there is no longer any point in really wanting to publish the secret message. End of the quote. Here we have the sloshing of the oceans during the pole shift that the Zetas have predicted, being a part of the third secret. So why has the Church lied? And I quote from Zeta Talk, Fatima Secret, written January 2005. Of course, everyone anticipates that the remaining Fatima Secret, known to few except the hierarchy of the Catholic Church and Sister Lucia, who received the vision, will encompass the end times. What else would cause the children to fall screaming at what they saw? Few accepted the obvious deflection, announced in recent years, that this involved the assassination of a pope, which would perhaps stun or sadden a child, but not send them screaming in horror, writhing on the ground. In the main, sudden and massive earth changes are simply not expected, and thus screaming in horror at the appropriate response, especially if the one visualizing this, living it during an intense vision, is but a child. Sworn to silence, not because there is nothing that can be done to avert the calamity, the suppression of the remaining Fatima secret was done for the convenience of the Catholic Church and those who ally with the Church. Just as with the cover-up, where admitting the presence of Planet X in the inner solar system and the likely outcome is inconvenient to those in political and fiscal control of the world, this suppression was done for convenience. Did not those who gave the children the vision intend it to be known? Would those who denied pedophilia in the Church for so long, while allowing it to continue, put the safety of innocent children under their care ahead of their fiscal concerns? It is for convenience that the vision is suppressed. Sister Lucia, a captive in silence, and a frank lie about the substance of the vision being about the assassination of a pope, put forth. Of course there is reason to reveal the secret. People can choose to limit the size of their families, can choose where to live, can choose a profession or trade based on anticipated need, and in general can plan to love one another with more intensity if they are aware of what is likely to occur. This does not jive with the Church's doctrine to increase the size of the flock on pain of excommunication if one uses contraceptives, a doctrine which stands at odds with the apparent acceptance of pedophilia in the Church, as apparently it is failing to increase the size of the flock, not sex, that is the sin. You are told business as usual, stay at your jobs, tithe to your church, remain on the coastlines and crowded into the cities, and support the comfortable lifestyles of the hierarchy. Those in the halls of power in the Catholic Church know otherwise, but comfort themselves that nothing can be done to save mankind anyway. Oh, are they planning to do nothing for themselves? Nothing to place themselves on solid rock away from coastlines? Such is the love of those in the halls of power in the Church. Are they following the advice of Jesus to love the least among them? Are they following the golden rule? Are they warning those along coastlines and near volcanoes or in crumbling cities? Are they allowing them the human right to make their own decisions about where they wish to be, or where they wish to take those they love? It appears the church is being run by dictators, looking out for themselves solely to the end. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. If the Catholic Church withheld the third secret out of self-interest, other valid psychics withhold the message out of reluctance to be the bearer of bad tidings. Sylvia Brown and the aliens in communication with her, for instance. And I quote from the Pole Shift Discussion Group, December 2002. After many years denying such a possibility, this week celebrity psychic Sylvia Brown announced on the Art Bell Show that she now sees a worldwide natural cataclysm in the future and the disappearance of mankind within 5 years. End of the quote. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Sylvia Brown, written December 2002. We have mentioned that many aliens channeling to valid channels are reluctant to announce the coming cataclysms. We have explained that this is due to not wanting to be the bearer of bad tidings, and not having a human willing to be the bearer of bad tidings. Those alien groups pulling back from a full, truthful account of what mankind will experience have several reasons for doing this. First, as with any relaying of discomforting news, the news bearer is also discomforted, so the news bearer would prefer not to experience this discomfort. Call it cowardice or pandering to the self or a weakness. Second, there are those who feel that the news would be delivered to many who could not do anything with the news, could not move, prepare, and the agony would only be thus prolonged. Thus, this is akin to a doctor not telling a patient that they are dying until the dying day. In this case also, the doctor, the news bearer, is excusing themselves from discomforting demands by the patient or family. Can the patient not be cured in some way? Has the doctor done all he can, etc.? In like manner, aliens presenting a pole shift scenario are asked via their channels, endlessly, if all of mankind cannot be saved, lifted, the shift avoided, etc. Those alien groups presenting a rosy or glossed over view will explain the facts to those whom they deem to be able to take it well, or deem could benefit from such facts. Both factors, the channel and the human, are at play, so that one must have an alien information source willing to tell the horrid truth, and a human willing to be the bearer of this. To date, none but Nancy has filled these shoes, but times are changing for several reasons. Where information sources have alluded to coming changes, they focus on the aftertime as being a better time, not the steps that will occur to get there. Earth's changes are described in light text, heavy on the emphasis of glowing times afterwards, peace, cooperation, the return of Christ, or whatever. If the cataclysms are at all described, they are put into short phrases, such as, much death, without details. To state which areas of the world will experience tidal waves, which will quickly drown, which will freeze, which will choke on ash, and the like, is too graphic. Readers of light text can imagine that others will experience something, but not themselves. This leaves the shift and its effects as theoretical, abstract. What has occurred? That some sources are now leaning in the direction of addressing the coming times. In truth, for every source that moves closer to telling the truth, there are others who back away. The earth changes are pressing in on all consciousness, undeniably, and thus the comfort of denial is increasingly hard to achieve. Those attuned to different voices have a choice, to shut it out or listen, and if they choose to stay in contact, will have to admit that something is around the corner. Like Scallion, who deals with his pain in this regard and taps in, or like Casey, who likewise reported the unpleasant, some will be true channels for the truth. But likewise, some otherwise true channels will be increasingly false, will be increasingly flaky, vague, ethereal, and deny any rough times in the near future. Consider, when listening to these many voices, that a human is relaying this information, and place this in the context of what you know human behavior to be. How many of your fellows can take really bad news without trying first to deny it? Consider, second, that alien groups relaying information to humans may likewise prefer to save the really bad news until the last minute. We ask only that those looking for the truth consider the Zeta Talk accuracy track record, which is impressive to the point of standing alone in information received from a source outside of the human vehicle relaying it. There is no other channel or source with this track record. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Do Zeta Talk and Sylvia Brown converge in their predictions? Sylvia has predicted a massive die-off of humanity within 5 years of December 2002. That date lines up with the end of 2007. Zeta Talk has described in great detail what the globe will go through on its way to the actual pole shift. They have described a role where Planet X turns in place 180 degrees to point its north pole toward the Earth, during which Earth will lean its north pole away into 3 days of darkness. Then all moves quickly within weeks to the pole shift. The Zetas have given a couple of updates in April 2006 and September 2006 as to where in the first 180 degrees Planet X is as it moves from pointing its north pole toward the Sun to where it's pointing its north pole toward the Earth. On April 21, 2006, in response to a question, "Where about in the role are we?" the Zetas responded, "We would state about 28 degrees. We would anticipate the role should proceed 195 degrees before rotation slowing to a stop, leading to a pole shift itself would occur." End of the quote from Zeta Talk. On September 23, 2006, I recall being on a Zeta ship looking at the relative position of Planet X and its magnetic pole positions. And I quote from my recall, "The tail can be seen blowing away from Planet X. It appears like dark dust with hunks in it in the main, but some of the moon swirls are like light dust tubes. Since the tail blows out from the North Pole, the degree of turn in the 270-degree roll can be determined and appears at about 80 degrees. End of my recall. So if the 195 degrees until deep doo-doo arrives moved from 28 degrees to 80 degrees in 5 months, it would logically move another 50 degrees between late September 2006 until late February 2007 to arrive at 130 degrees or so, and move another 50 degrees over the next 5 months to arrive at 180 degrees by late July 2007. Bear in mind that the Zetas have stated they will not give a date, having only made the statement that the date of December 21, 2012 is too far in the future, the pole shift occurring before that date. So this 2007 calculation could be entirely wrong, but it lines up remarkably well with what Sylvia Brown stated on the Art Bell Show. Bear in mind, also, that the visitors speaking to Sylvia Brown, as well as the Zetas speaking to Nancy, may all wish to mislead the powermongers of the world again, all of a missed 2003 date, and using both Sylvia and Nancy to do so. The Mayan calendar, interpreted to end on December 21, 2012, is often given as the date for the cataclysms. But is it accurate? The date is in fact a guess, as there is no means of establishing when the calendar starts. The Mayans in fact had three calendar systems, one astronomical, and thus able to line up with the Gregorian calendar, as it predicts eclipses or planetary alignments. This calendar, unfortunately, is not the one interpreted to end in 2012. The second calendar is a holiday or ceremonial calendar of 260 days, repeating endlessly. There are no hooks into the astronomical or year calendar, no points where a connection or shared date can be established. And likewise, the third calendar, the 365-day-long calendar, which ostensibly ends in 2012. neither the 260 day or the long calendar of 360 or 365 days can be correlated to the Gregorian calendar in any way. And I quote from the Sacred Text website, "The Mayans used three separate calendars. The long count was principally used for historical purposes, since it can define any date for millennia in the past and future. The Hab was a civil calendar based on a year of 360 days, consisting of 18 periods of 20 days. 5 days were added at the end of the Hab year to approximately synchronize it with the solar year. The Toscan calendar was used for ceremonial purposes, which had 20 periods of 13 days. The Toscan calendar went through a complete cycle every 260 days. The significance of this cycle is unknown. It may be connected with the orbit of Venus, which has a period of 263 days. The Hab and Toscan dates did not have a year component, however. A combined Hab and Toscan date specify a unique day within a 52-year cycle. However, despite their great skill at observing the heavens, their calendar has no relationship to lunar or seasonal cycles, and is only synchronized with the solar cycle year, approximately." End of the quote. Frustrated with the lack of astronomical confirmation points for the long calendar, the researchers were nonetheless able to compute where the 260 and 360 long period calendars linked to each other. And I quote again from the web, "In his book Mayan Civilization, the great Mayanist Thompson had a more ambitious idea. He figured that if an exact correlation could be made by way of comparing inscription glyphs with astronomical events, he could identify the glyphs which referred to the planets in various phenomena such as eclipses, conjunctions, and solstices. But the astronomical approach by itself was lacking. Then Thompson came up with his correlation. It was based primarily on three cross-referenced documents from post-conquest Yucatan. The Chronicle of Axcuzab states that a ton ended in the year 1539. Ton is a long calendar part counting 360 days. The Book of Chilam Balam places an indigenous calendar next to the Julian one used by the Spaniards, indicating that February 15, 1544, matches a point in the 260-day and 360-day calendars. Landa's records place July 16, 1553, across from both these calendars once again." End of the quote. These date correlations showed connections of the long calendar to the 260-day calendar, but gave no clue as to the end point for the long calendar. So how was the 2012 date determined? On a wooden archway in the land of the Maya, temple beams were discovered with certain glyphs and were interpreted to indicate the endpoint in some manner. Based on historical data on when holidays or ceremonial days might have been held, there were X number of possibilities, and carbon dating was done to determine the best pick among the dates. Carbon dating, however, is not precise. And I quote again from the web. "Finally, a new carbon-14 gas analysis technique was developed. In 1959, the University of Pennsylvania ran 33 counts of samples from 10 beams in the Tekken Temple. The whole series averaged out to AD 746, with a leeway of 34 years on either side. These beams were carved with a Mayan date which is equivalent to AD 741 in Thompson's correlation. Overwhelming support for the precise placement of the Thompson correlation came in the 40s and 50s. When newly discovered calendar counts still being followed among the Quichí, Quechí, and Ixtl of Guatemala all supported his correlation. Any suspected break in the calendar count between the time of the conquest and recent findings is highly unlikely. They all accurately project backwards to dates from the Aztec and Yucatec conquest. As far as the surviving counts of Guatemala go to support proposed correlations, they do indeed all support Thompson's correlation, but they would also support any correlation that was different from Thompson's by a multiple of the 260-day cycle." End of the quote. Thus you have a guess as to when the long calendar ends. Thompson's guess is just that, and was contested and discussed for decades, and is still being debated, as is the interpretation of the glyphs, for that matter. How accurate in that 34-year wiggle room was the carbon dating? And where within the 34-year wiggle room is the clue for the end point of the long calendar? And I quote from Zeta Talk, Mayan Calendar, written December 1995. The Mayan calendar is not so much incorrect as misunderstood. The calendar is derived from calendars and plotting methods left behind by the hominid visitors from Planet X, the Anunnaki. There are and were many calendars in operation. The Western calendar of 365 days with an occasional leap year is only one such method. Dates, when plotted according to one calendar method, do not always line up exactly when translated to another calendar. However, the primary difficulty in interpreting the Mayan calendar is determining the correct starting point. One may be accurate in calculating the number of days, months, and years between events, but unless the starting point is precisely known, the end point is questionable. There are also various interpretations on when the Mayan calendar ends, albeit this rather obviously coincides with the coming millennium. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Lacking a date, which all prophecy frankly refuses to give, humans hungry for more guidelines are left to cling to a description of the signs to look for, as well as any clue as to how these relate to when they should move to safety from the coastlines. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Prophecy, written October 2000. Folklore and prophecy speak to the coming changes eloquently, in all cultures and through many mediums. These stories and prophecies hold the populace spellbound, in the main, because the average man understands that for lore to persist through time, or for a prophecy to be widely known, it must have had a great impact on all who heard it, and thus it holds validity. This is a factor little understood by the establishment, who arrogantly assume that their statements are taken as valid by the public. Thus folklore and prophecy are ignored by the establishment as insignificant. They are wrong. Prophecies about albino animals, the white buffalo, or a red sky accompanied by great heat and drought, or snow in summer, are also prophecies that can be verified by the average man. Thus many prophecies come true at the same time also hold weight. This, more than any argument in the media or pronouncement by experts or careful pattern analysis of geological changes, affects the average man and causes him to consider the possibility that a time of global and spiritual change, as predicted, is about to occur. End of the quote from Zeta Talk.
Hello, I'm Roger, president of Troubled Times Incorporated. We're a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping mankind survive during troubled times when self-sufficiency may be the only answer. Our organization offers a twin set CD of survival information at cost to the public. The CDs are in hypertext and PDF format, two popular browser formats, and contain all the information collected by the massive Troubled Times website. The CDs allow you to browse this information offline at your leisure. The cost of the twinned pair is $4.10, and this includes postage. You can also get the survival booklet, a hip-sized booklet of the gist of the Troubled Times advice, for just $5, including postage. We offer a popular combo package for $7.50 that includes both the CDs and the booklet with the lower postage expense reflected in that price. Send for your copies today to start making practical plans for your and your family's survival. Just click on the $4.10 CD link at www.zetatalk.com and your copy will be on its way.
That concludes our broadcast. Thank you for being with us. Remember to carry love in your heart. It's the commodity of the future. As the Zetas say, love may have a blooming going into the shift, as it ought, those with great love in their hearts responding to the realization that little else matters.